Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
We obviously want to kind of wrap up and talk about the end for the Weeza football. Played to the final game that they could get to, and it didn't go as they wanted it to, but a pretty tremendous performance. If you didn't check it out, they got down really quickly. They were down 14-0, a fluky play. Where the referee ran into a receiver, and suddenly they're down 14-0. They're in a lot of trouble, and they were able to kind of dig back out of that and make a game of it.
Yeah, I mean, two things. You could only have one of two things happen for Louise in this game for them to win. And, that first one is bad enough where you're like, at a 14-0 start, I don't think you can dig out of it. Because Louise, I mean, the way it works out, Salem scores on their opening drive, and then you get the pick six. Mm-hmm. And so before you've even had any sustained drive, you're in the hole, down two scores. But they come back. I mean, we're looking at a 28-22 ball game, and Louise is driving. They're converting fourth downs deep in their own territory.
Yeah.
And then they get they get stopped on a 4th-and-4 around the 20-yard line, and the next play is an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And so that was the second one that couldn't happen. They could afford one of those. You could either have the pick six or that 80-yard run. But you can't have them both in the game and expect to win that one. And that's I feel like it's pretty amazing that they even got back into it. And
yeah,
they got that crowd fired up.
No question.
The Louisa fans came. You got to tip your hat to them. They showed up in droves. It got loud on the field. It was really fun to watch. You could see, we've seen that momentum swing in Louisa games before. You're like, wow, this is going to happen. I think that's what makes it so much tougher for them to lose that game, is because they had made it happen so many times before, and now it finally didn't.
Yeah. And what a number of really great four-year type careers that got wrapped up there. And, Joe Whalen, we wrote about him this week, and what a tremendous player and kid he is. And Malik Bell, another, he's just been a really intriguing presence for so long. I mean, he's such a big guy playing quarterback.
It's a pretty impressive 2-year run. He was not in the spotlight his first 2 years, but he was on the roster and contributing, but just really exploded the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's been just amazing, and glue guys, elite guys too. Tony Thurston, that has been there, and he has been one of the best linemen in the area every year for the last 2-3 years. I mean, he's just been tremendous. And then
Raekwon Jones,
man, just a really underrated guy who just does everything.
Yeah, Swiss Army knife kind of guy for them.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been so much fun to watch. And all these guys have just, Dustin Matney. I mean, just all these names. You're going to remember these names because you're going to remember this team.
Yeah.
This is, besides Goochland's state title in 2012, since Skirmish Play has been around, this is the deepest that a public school team has gone. And Louisa did it in such, Salem, tremendous team, not taking anything away from them, but they did not face quite the challenging path that Louisa did.
Yeah. I mean,
Dinwiddie, Monahan, Cortland even, a vastly improved
every
Cortland
week. They trailed in Lafayette. Almost every game.
Yeah.
You know, Lafayette's the only one where they came out and just rolled them early, but then they had to hold on for dear life towards the end of that one. Yeah, I think the drama around the team, that's going to add to the lore. Because, you know, ever since they hit the road at, you know, Monahan, that fan base has been there. So they got to watch it all happen. I feel like so many people actually went to the games and saw just the crazy stuff going on. Coming down, I think it was 21-7 against Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's at home, it's 14-7 against Cortland. Dinwiddie, they got out to a good start. And
14-0, then it was 14-14. So many, I mean, all these games were classics. All these games.
And even the state title, the final score is misleading.
You know, yes.
There's a late touchdown there after.
They're a fourth down conversion away from that getting absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that game is better than it looks on paper.
Yeah.
And mostly because you start out at such a low point. You're like, wow, this is going to be a blowout game. And then suddenly it's not. And I mean, it's pretty cool the way it shaped out. Obviously, perfect ending. I mean, maybe there was just so much drama around this one, it couldn't be that perfect. I mean, it would have been, like, you couldn't have come up with almost a cheesier ending than Louisa going down and coming back, and it's Fisher's final game. But we talked about it afterwards. The way that the seniors and the way that Fisher sort of handled the finality of that game, they're riding off in the sunset together, they did it with a lot of grace. Maybe behind closed doors it was different, there was a lot more tears. But the guys walking out of that locker room, they had their heads up high still, and they realized...
And deservedly so, man.
Yeah, they kept saying, you know, we made it to the show, we gave it our best. And that, you know, that's really what matters. You know, if they feel like they left everything on the field, that's really all that matters, because you can't argue with the outcome then. And so I thought it was really cool to see them to be able, maybe really early on in the process, appreciate just how far they got and how much they've done, because... When you lose a game like that, it can be pretty easy to go in the gutter for a couple weeks before you get out and say, you know, actually, our team was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, and just some huge plays. Brandon Smith forced the fumble that Matt West jumped on. That to me was what ignited this sudden comeback. It was the fumble and the kick return. Smith just flew in and punched it out as he's done. Like, it feels like every couple of plays, the guy's doing it.
He had a game on special teams in this one. Yeah. He was flying off the edge.
The block.
Yeah, I mean, so there was a lot going on special teams-wise there. That was pretty awesome to watch. But I think the big thing, the big difference here is that somebody was finally able to run the ball in Louisa. We've never seen that before. And Salem, they've got the dudes up front to do it, and they had the kid in the backfield.
D'Angelo Ramsey.
Ramsey, you know, that's a man. That was a big boy. And
runs real upright, sort of Eric Dickerson, Eddie George type
Brandon
guy.
Brandon Jacobs kind of thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's just big, rough, tumble. You talked about it. He made some move on the sideline that was just sick.
Yeah, I mean, he could bait you into trying to come up high on him, and then he could just blow by you. I mean, he was just...
Everything.
He had all the tools, and so Salem's able to run the ball. And then, Louisa... You can't put the first turner on anybody. That's just a part of the game. You know, if officials are part of the field, there's nothing you can do.
Brutal break.
But the turnover margin had always gone Louisa's way in the previous games. And, you know, they had four on the night plus the two missed fourth down conversions. So that's six extra chances for a really good team.
Yeah.
And Salem's too good to hand that to. And if the other way around, the score would be just the same. You give Louisa that margin as well, and they're coming up smelling like roses as well.
No question. So, like we said, we're going to remember that one, that run, for a long time. Just an incredible, overall, just a really, really impressive one. So, that wraps up football season. That's it. And now we move full tilt, full bore into basketball. And I want to start with the third and latest C&G Paving Smooth Operator of the Week. And we got two kids that definitely deserve it. We'll start with Elizabeth Kaufman at Western Almar, who's just been fantastic for the girls' squad out there. Kaufman is was so much of what they did last year, and this year she is locked right back into where she was. She had eight steals, I think, in the first half against Louisa County just Tuesday night. And then she was awfully, awfully good against Charlottesville. She's just so steady with the ball. Just a really, really impressive point guard.
That's the name of the game. In the girls' game, if you have a guard that can handle pressure, that can break a press, you've got a squad. You can easily build around that. And with Kaufman, we saw in the playoffs, Western made sort of a little bit of an unexpected run. They did a good job getting through into that region tournament, winning a game on the road at Liberty Bedford, I think it was, or Bealeton. You could see Kaufman was just really comfortable just having two people run her down. And, she dribbles so well, and she sees the court well, so she knows how to get out of trouble. That's a huge asset for a young Western team that looks like they're poised to make a lot of noise.
They got some players, man. I mean, Shannon Moore, Maddie Starzer are around. They've got some young post players who are playing really well.
And a team that you lose your best player in Ellery Hayden. And maybe
most productive.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And somehow maybe you're better this year than you were last year.
They're deep, man. They're deep. They're tough. They move the ball really well. Kaufman is a big part of that. I mean, also because they've got a lot of experience. But they're popping the ball. A lot of times you see too many teams that, like, each person will take too many dribbles, so then the ball's sort of sticking a little bit. Western girls, right now at least, don't have that problem. I saw a couple of offensive possessions where the ball never touched the ground. It was just
pop, one-touch soccer-like flow.
Oh, man. I mean, we're talking – it was fantastic stuff. There was a really cool action in the Charlottesville game where Kaufman and Moore – Kaufman's just sort of flipped it over, got in real tight to the opposing post player, sort of drew her sight, and then Moore flipped around her, and she kind of flipped it. This is very difficult to describe on a podcast. I'm realizing that right now. But a really neat play, really fun to watch, and she kind of flipped it. We got video of it on the website, but they're just doing really cool things. They're doing things the right way. They're getting, O'Shea girl, when she is knocking down, she hit four threes against Louisa. She's the one that stretches it out. If she's knocking down threes, it's going to be tough to beat them. It's going to be tough to get close. So, Western Alamar playing really well. And Elizabeth Kaufman, this week's Smooth Operator of the Week. And we got another one. Kayshawn Braxton, you got to give this guy a little bit of love right now, because Orange County is playing a vastly improved brand of basketball right now.
Kayshawn Braxton, he's got 28 a game right now so far.
Wow.
And for a guy who wasn't, the guy last year, I mean, that's just a real sort of emergence. Orange is doing it it's Jordan Shook shooting three-pointers, and then Braxton down low. And that's, they've got a bunch of role players doing a bunch of great jobs there that we've seen in the last couple games. But, yeah, starting out 4-0, we went back and looked at the schedule last year. They didn't get to four wins until mid-January.
Wow.
This is a group that lost a lot of seniors, too. Trey Smith was sort of like the guy, like in every sport that he played. But, it's great to see them step forward. Their schedule's going to get tougher. Mm-hmm. When they start lining up against Charlottesville and Albemarle and those guys, we're going to know just how good this Orange team is. But playing out of their conference and then Monticello last night, you're getting an idea at 4-0. Like Orange, you can't take anything for granted against them right now. And not with Braxton playing in the paint the way he is. He's finishing at the basket. I mean, he's a fast kid. He can fly down. He had a pair of dunks against Monticello. And, we'll see if he and this team in general, if they improve defensively. And if they do, that's going to be problematic, because offensively, when you can work inside out like that, and, he can clean up offensive glass pretty easy, that's a great recipe for success over there.
Yeah, Adam Utz, man, doing a really nice job. I think this is year two for him.
Yep.
He's getting it going over there at Orange. And no surprise, I mean, that's a guy who was one of those well-rounded athletes in high school and knows what he's doing.
And I think one of the cool things for him is that he's getting to talk to a coaching, various coaching staffs around the district that he played for.
Yeah.
He played for some of these guys. And so he's able to, get things going conversationally in the off season. What do I need to do with this program? What are the little things I can do on the sides? And I think having that, and I think it's cool that the coaching community is, they're building one of their own here. over at Orange. And that's always fun to see when you see a local kid come back and sort of give back to the schools. You know, he didn't go to Orange, he went to Albemarle, but of course he's interacting with Albemarle's coaching staff and you know, getting tips and scouting reports and stuff from them too. So it's always cool to see that sort of happen on our local level.
No question about it. And speaking of a second-year coach that is making big strides, Nelson County and Brian Wilton are doing good things. That was a segue. I want to go ahead and get some credit for that very professional segue. But you got, I mean, the Governors are just playing really good, pretty good basketball. They're playing, you know, they beat William Monroe Wednesday night. That's a really good win for them. A great step in the right direction. You know, they've got a lot of building to do and a lot of things to work on, but Nelson County playing really well. Houston Carter had a huge night against William Monroe. He's stepping up in a big way. We talked about Joseph Saunders a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. He's playing pretty well. Got in a little bit of foul trouble against William Monroe, but hey, I mean, like, you know, you're not going to be, you know, firing on all cylinders every night. You got to have a few guys that can step up, and Houston Carter was that guy tonight with a career high. 26
points, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just a heck of a performance. So you got Bryce Wilton running some point. You got Devontae Rose running some point. They have quick guards, guys who can break the press. And they've got a real bouncy post guy in Devin Cousins that has a little bit of pop. He can really kind of get after things. And he's just, you know, it gives them some athleticism underneath that, you know, a lot of teams don't have. And we're going to talk about post play in a minute, but Nelson County's got to feel pretty good about the steps they're taking. They're headed in the right direction down there. Brian Wilson, we know, can coach. He did a really nice job at Buckingham, and you know, he pitched in and kind of got things headed in the right direction of Louisa County. So it's nice to see Brian having some success down there.
Yeah, I mean, Nelson County is 10 years removed from Thomas Brown and the boys.
Thomas Brown,
who's actually related to Brian Wilson, oddly enough. When Wilson was at Buckingham, they were on the other side of the bracket in the Final Four. And you know, Buckingham wasn't able to get through to the state final game, but Nelson was, and you know, they won it all. And we just sort of never seen anything really close to that playoff run wise. I mean, it's really tough to build that just overnight. So if he pulls that off,
they play in a difficult district too. Dogwood's no joke.
Yeah. So if Wilson turns this around that quickly in just his second year with the team, that's going to be really awesome for Governors fans. To, you know, that's a school that they thrive around some basketball. You know, they'll be pretty proud of the product if they get a good playoff run out of that.
No question. Flipping over the Charlottesville boys, you got a chance to see them play.
Yeah, Charlottesville Western, yeah.
A really unique let's talk about both sides in that game, but let's start with the Charlottesville boys. A very unique squad.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Neal returning from last year. We've got a lot of younger pieces. You know, it's the same Charlottesville squad we almost always see. They're not going to be the biggest guys on the floor, but no team is going to run after the ball harder. I mean, they're going to run you 32 minutes of hell kind of thing. You're just going to see a whole lot of pressure, and this isn't a team that, you know, plays with a shot clock in its head. They get down the floor quick, and they ran into some foul trouble against Western. I mean, it's early in the season. It seems like we saw the Madison Monroe game, four starters from Madison fouling out.
Oh, wow.
It seems like everyone's a little trigger happy on the whistles right now. So please, if you're an official, let the kids play. It makes our night so much more enjoyable too.
Yeah, there were not a lot. I could tell. I think it was the Louisa Western girls, man. I thought it was pretty well called. I personally did. It moved quickly. Yep. The game was on sort of fast forward. So it's nice to see. Yeah, I agree.
I know in some of the boys' games you worry about tempers flaring. Let the coaches worry about that, and you know, let's play basketball kind of thing. It's not that the officiating in the Charlottesville Western game was so uneven, really, so much as it was just the tempo of the game didn't have what we normally like to see from Charlottesville Western, which is such a great rivalry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Western getting it done with some outside shooting from Chris McGarren. You know, it seems like every year Western, they can lose, you know, their best player, and there's some guy who comes back that can just gun it from three. I mean, you lose Ryan Ingram, who just, I mean, that kid was so good for so long for them, and then they have McGarren that they can lean on to be sort of that sniper and knock down those big shots. But I think the big thing for Western is they've got some size returning, and they're in a year where you don't have to worry about Austin Katzer and Jay Conn.
This is the same. A lot of these guys are the battalion of human shrapnel that Darren Maynard got really good at throwing at Austin Kastra over his four-year career. These guys, you know, some of them have graduated and moved on, but a lot of these guys were kind of shoved into the cannon to go after Austin to kind of try and wear him down. It was an effective strategy.
It's sort of like a running back by rotation kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Keep hammering, man. Keep hammering.
So with guys like Teo Rapini and Jed Strickland, sort of, I mean, it's easy to get lost in the stat lines when Kastra's putting up, you know, 22 and 18 every night. So these guys are going to get a chance to shine this year. And we're just, the JD isn't used to having a lot of post players. There just aren't that many. And Western's got a couple on their roster. I mean, Garrett Payne, you know, it's a big, tall, long kid. He can shoot too, but I mean, that's someone whose size you expect or whose height you imagine will factor defensively. Number of ways to use him and have him be effective. And you know, we just talked about Braxton at Orange, so this is a chance for different post players from different programs to get away from, you know, finally Kastra is gone and we don't have to, we can focus on our game and not his.
And Louisa County is going to be one of those teams that can match up with them size-wise. Almar, it looks like he's starting to find some of these guys. And now Arnold is such an athlete that at 6'5 or 6'4 or whatever he is, that he can just get up, that he's going to be able to attack some of that height. But I agree. Like, I mean, there's no tradition, you know, there's not usually a ton of traditional post players, and these guys have had the unfortunate opportunity to be thrown in against Kastra in the district, and now they get a chance to maybe, you know, have a little space, have a little breathing room, and I think they're all pretty darn good players. So it's gonna be fun to see what Western's able to put together now with that group.
Yeah, and then you know the other side of the coin is, you know, the teams that are guard heavy like Charlottesville. How are they going to respond to it? They've always had answers for these teams, before. So they'll figure something out. I mean, usually Charlottesville's answer for anything is just throw more speed at it, and it seems to work. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, run past it. If you can't run through it, run past it. You know, run around it. So the JD basketball season is always a sort of interesting nip and tuck back and forth. It seems like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like, at least maybe not for the top dog or second, that everybody has a shot at everybody every night.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a level of parity in it right now that there wasn't the last couple years.
And still, teams like Almar had to fight tooth and nail to get those wins, and I think that you're gonna see a lot of really competitive basketball.
Yeah, and we talked about in previous podcasts that we're probably not going to know what's going on in basketball for sure until after the holiday tournaments. I think we're getting a little bit closer. I mean, there's still going to be that winter break and everything sort of gets everybody into a different funk, and they're playing teams that, you know, are from out in the valley and stuff like that. The pieces, I still think we won't know what to expect in February until we get, a couple of games in January under our belt.
No question.
But it is fun seeing some different names.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had some pretty good basketball players roll through here and graduate last year. And there's a whole lot of names to be learned. And it's always fun to sort of see different programs get put under the spotlight and just see variety.
Yeah. That's why when a name like Kayshawn Braxton jumps out to you, it's a lot of fun to watch. So certainly going to be back soon. And we got a ton of basketball, ton of different action. Wrestling's ramping up. Swimming's ramping up. Everything's kind of getting going here in this winter season. So certainly check it out, and we'll be back with the podcast next week. Thanks a lot.